This is up reading from the book UFO Contact from Planet Akart, written by Arthur Burlett. About the author, Arthur Burlett also. Arthur Burlett was born into a mixed immigrant family in 1931, in the middle of the rural city of Sarandi, Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil. His father was a German immigrant, half French in origin. His mother was Brazilian Portuguese. He was raised in a German-speaking home, and German was the first language he learned. He spoke Portuguese with his playmates and his friends in school. Burlett went to school only the first year and part of another before he began working around home to help out. When he grew up, he became a vehicle operator and drove a tractor from the municipal city of Sarandi. He filled in his spare times learning to use a camera and was working as a part-time photographer on call around his neighborhood at the time of his abduction. He continued to work as a tractor operator for the municipality until a short time after his return from the abduction experience. He was apparently let go in that job because of his UFO experience. He worked in a quarry after that, where he was injured in an explosion and lost one leg. Burlett is a tall, bronzed-skinned man of fine physical appearance, with dark brown hair and blue eyes. He enjoys good health, both physically and mentally, and is hardworking, simple, and efficient. He has grown up in Sarandi and lived there all of his life. He is well known and highly respected as an honest, straightforward man, not known for storytelling and fantasy. He is trusted and liked by all who knows him and his family. He and his wife and children, though in modest means, were known and liked by all their neighbors in Sarandi. Although Arthur Burlett wrote much of his account in longhand in Portuguese, all of the dialogue with the extraterrestrials was carried on in German, and so it was recorded that way in his notebooks. We have translated all into English for this report. This writes then Wendell Stevens. Then a preface by the investigators. For the past 10 years, we have been drawn into the investigation of UFO contactee cases, and we have become involved in the extent that with us there is no longer any doubt that the existence of living physical extraterrestrials, human-like beings who travel the depths of space and occasionally come here to this small atmospheric planet we call Earth. There is much evidence that such things have been coming here for a very long time, and perhaps as long as Earthman has been here. Up to that time, we too subscribed to the beliefs then, and even today, advocated by most of the UFO clubs that there may be UFOs and they may be intelligently guided and controlled, but the human-like beings similar to us? Out of the question. Anybody with common sense knew that nobody like us could get here from there in a lifetime. And so why would they come? Physics proved this, and scientists calculated the astronomical improbability of any other life form ever evolving to a living being anything like us. But were we thinking along the right lines? Did Earthman necessarily have to have his origin here? Could both our creationists and evolutionist theories be wrong at that, at least in substantial error? Could we be a product of nothing more complex than simple migration from another inhabited planet? And if so, how many other inhabited planets are there? Where are they? Do any of those other inhabitants of different planets ever come here? How do we know? Profound questions indeed, and we think the answers are ever more profound, though still unacceptable to most Earth people at this time. In the course of my own personal investigations into several real extraterrestrial contactee cases, I have learned to look for pattern keys that seem to only fit the most legitimate cases. Then, looking back over the past history of this phenomenon, it is possible to pick out the older contee cases that are more likely real, but cast out because we just didn't know enough about this aspect of the UFO phenomenon to make value judgments wisely. In the course of my work with Dr. Walter K. Buehler of Brazil on the abductions of the young mulatto man from Mirassol, in the case UFO abduction from Mirassol, he pointed out another highly interesting contactee case that he felt was one of the legitimate ones that we never heard of here in the United States. I would venture to say that that not one UFO clubber in this country could tell you anything about this case, and that is because it has never been published in English anywhere. North Americans are of excellent material published in other languages of this world. This case was better known in Brazil, but it came too early, at a time when all contactee cases were being thrown out simply because they were that kind of phenomenon and nobody was accepting it. This contact book took place in May of 1958. To a more properly appreciate what is described in this account, we must put ourselves back into that time and consider the fact that man had not yet flown in space. The first orbiting vehicles that had not been launched, we still thought the lines we say on Mars were systems of canals. We did not know that Mars was uninhabited and even uninhabitable, and we had not yet been to our moon. We had no space probe studying our solar system, and we knew nothing about the nature of the surface of Venus. We had developed a few pilot atomic power projects, and we knew ever then that they could not be made either safe or efficient. But it was a way to justify other means. Arthur Burlett, a simple Brazilian man with little formal education, did not know then either that we now know, but what he describes comes very close to admitting the knowledge that we have gained since his trips in 1958. He certainly cannot be accused of writing this story for money, for he never sold it. Those schoolers and well-educated authorities that intimately investigated this case and then witnessed them, such as Dr. Bühler and Jorge Ernesto Macedo Geisel, found good reason to believe that the contacts and the trips were real then, and they have not changed their opinion today, 30 years later. Arthur Burlett did not know for sure at the time where the other planet he was taken to is, and his abductors only told him it was the planet Akkart, their home planet then. He felt, though this was never confirmed, that it was the planet we call Mars in our solar system, but this was only an opinion held at that time. He knew very little about Mars, and our scientists did not know much about it then either. It was much later before we began to get definitive data on that planet. This account, of course, never went anywhere in 1958 when it happened, and there does not seem to be much corroborative evidence to support it. Almost everybody was discounting UFO contactees' story at the time then, including even the most ardent UFO fans, and the UFO clubs refused to recognize any of the actual contactees. This certainly was not a time to seek fame and fortune by making such unlikely claims, and it did not help this man either, because Arthur Burlett was immediately branded a liar and fraud, and was ridiculed and called crazy by nearly everybody who did not know him, and even some who thought they did. He continued to answer serious questions about his experience and the negative changes and ill treatments he received did not discourage him, because he had his truth, which he knew for sure for himself, and he sympathized with those who could not understand and could not accept it. He knew that they only needed his truth to see things his way. Arthur Burlett was patient and undisturbed with all, and refused to be intimidated by people who simply did not know. He went right ahead and set all he could down in writing in longhand in the 14 notebooks. As we read this account, we should keep in mind the fact that this man had practically no formal education at all, that he was a laborer who worked with his hands, was not a science fiction reader, and he had no collection of UFO information to draw on. He lived in a rather parochial rural area in the far south of Brazil, where he was born and raised, and planned to stay. He was well known and respected by all his neighbors, friends, and family. Burlett had no history of storytelling and of playing pranks. He was straightforward, simple, and honest, naturally intelligent, and a good mind. Faced with all the intimidation and the disrespectful charges, he still stuck to his account, though it would have been far easier and much better for him to have simply given in and given up. This man never laid his story on anybody and did not insist on anybody believing it. He never tried to sell it or make any money on it, and he would not let anybody sell it for him. He insisted that such knowledge was free and that it was the way he treated it. Now, with hindsight, we can look back and see that much of what he said and described, though not known, and some not even in existence then, is common knowledge now today, such as television, telephones, 3D TVs, radiated electric power, solar generators, etc. Even the television in his area was still rather primitive, and there were few broadcasting stations then. Few local folk owned such expensive sets. Erta Burlett did not have the wealth of UFO contactee information we have today to influence him. Yet he mentions K-pattern information subsequently developed, which we can easily see now by studying many such cases, and there is no evidence that others were copying him, because his story was locally contained in remote Brazil for decades, and was practically unknown anywhere else. It has never been published anywhere in any other language before this account. Burlett did not know where the alien planet was located, but guessed it could be Mars, because the whole world believed in 1958 that if there was any other inhabited planet in our solar system, it would be Mars. Scientists ever thought they saw evidence of life there in those days. The idea of life outside our solar systems then was absurd. The idea of great orbiting man-made satellites was equally beyond reality. Burlett offers us some glimpses of another technologies unknown at the time. On the top of all that, we find that Arthur Burlett is an excellent example of our abductee profile, first identified and described on page 205 of the extended report published under the title Abduction at Botucatu. He was young, healthy, clean, moderate, respectful, humble, honest, dependable, intelligent, practical, tolerant, and charitable, and he was apolitical, not particularly religious, and completely uneducated. In short, there was little to be unlearned, and he was not stuck with unproved theories, and any of the various schools of concept of thought then current, and he was bright and quick to learn. If his way was the only story of this kind to come along, it would be much easier to discount, but that is simply not the case. There are literally hundreds of similar contact cases, but they were usually treated as yarns or tales told for amusement, and nobody really took them seriously. They did not travel very far. No, with the hundreds of such cases on record, this whole thing must be reviewed in a new light. Either something is really happening, or we are experiencing a worldwide psychosis that is just as important and must be treated. It really matters very little to the witness or to anybody else in the chain of circumstances that put this book into your hands, whether you believe this report is a true account of physical experience of Arthur Burlett in 1958, or whether you choose to believe it to be a fictional tale dreamed up and written out by a very simple man with less than 2 years of school, with no writing skills and little reading experience. We have one advantage over the first ones to examine this account, as it was set down in the 14 scholastic notebooks, and that is insight. You know now that the Earth looks like from space. You know of the fantastic advances in TV and computer technology since 1958. You know the wireless transmission of energy exists, and a number of other things completely unknown at the time of this abduction, including the vast account of actual extraterrestrial contact with Earth over time. Burlett described a system of propulsion used in deep space, based on magnetic sciences completely unknown to us then. But of this technology he also been mentioned by other space-traveling extraterrestrials involved in more comparatory UFO contact cases. And then it makes a footnote of the books UMO, Contact to Undersea, Koldas, Jarga and Eric Tilliam. All this is Stevens' books. Well, goes on. It is very important that we introduce the study of the UFO phenomenon in our universities, for it is a fact the existence of flying discs in our country. The attention of interested scientists, so that it may be possible to arrive at a logical conclusion with respect to this business. Not classify this phenomenon as hallucinations on part of those who have observed the objects. Signed this by Flavio Augusto Pereira, professor of genetics and embryology. This was the first, and then next is introduction, which is on a separate audio file.